Thank you for joining Mechon Hadar's learning of Pirkei Avot in honor of our 10th year celebration.
This week's Dvar Torah is by Dina Weiss.
This week's Mishnayot are Perek Vav, Mishnayot Dalet through Zion, Chapter 6, Mishnayot 4 through 7. And I just want to warn you before we begin that these Mishnayot are longer than you are accustomed to, but hopefully still enjoyable. We begin with Mishnah Dalet, with Mishnah number 4. Kach hi darkah shel Torah. This is the way of the Torah. Pat b'melech tochel. You should be eating only bread and salt. Umayim b'mishurah tishteh. You should be eating water in small measurements. V'al ha'aretz tishan. And you're going to be sleeping on the ground. V'chayei tza'ar tichyeh. And living a life of suffering. Uvatorah ata anel. And you're going to be working really hard in the Torah. Right, even the spiritual component of your life is going to be difficult. Learning Torah is, in and of itself, a pursuit that requires effort. But v'imata osechin, if you do this, if you live this difficult life of deprivation for the sake of the Torah, ashrecha v'tovlach, it is going to be good for you, and you are going to be praiseworthy. We're accustomed to translating the word ashrei as happy, but it seems very clear that in this context, ashrecha v'tovlach, you will be praiseworthy and it will be good for you. Ashrecha refers to not necessarily your feeling of happiness, but your feeling of worthiness. And the Mishnah continues, ashrecha ba'olam hazeh, you are going to be worthy in this world, v'tovlach la'olam haba, and it is going to be good for you in the world to come. We're continuing on, Al tevakesh gedula liatzmach, v'al tachmor kavod. And even though you're living this very religiously and spiritually rigorous life, and you don't have a lot of creature comforts, still you also should not be seeking any type of glory. Al tevakesh gedula liatzmach, do not seek any glory for yourself. V'al tachmor kavod, and do not covet honor. Yoter milimudach aseh, do more than you are accustomed to. V'al titaveh l'shulchanam shel melachim, and do not desire the table of kings. And why not? Because you have no reason to. Sheshulchanach gadol mishulchanam. Your table that's currently filled with just crusts of bread and water is actually greater than the table of the kings. V'chitrach gadol mikitram, and your crown, your glory is even greater than their crown. And God, the one who pays you for your labor, is trustworthy. He is going to pay you for all of your efforts. So it's difficult to live the life of study. You're not going to be able to make a lot of money. You're not going to be able to have a really elaborate life. But the Mishnah promises you that, first of all, you will be deserving, and whatever you earn will be paid to you, albeit in the world to come. Despite your worldly poverty, you are actually storing up a lot of good and wealth and comfort that's going to guide you and keep you company in the world to come. We continue with Mishnah Hay, with Mishnah number 5, which continues to elaborate on how great Torah is, the glory of Torah, even though it's not a financial type of glory. And the Mishnah begins to say, Gdola Torah yoter min hakehuna umin hamalchut. Torah is greater than the priesthood and than the kingship. So in the previous Mishnah, we were told not to be jealous of the kings. And in this Mishnah, we're told to also not be jealous of the priests. Shehamalchut niknet bishloshim ma'alot. Because the kingdom is acquired along with 30 levels. There are 30 different sort of distinguishing levels that the king has, certain benefits that he has from being a king. The hakuna and priesthood, that comes with esrim v'arba. That comes with 24 different types of gifts that are given to the kohen. So when you become the king, or when you become the kohen, you have this kinyan, you have this acquisition that comes along with you of this different type of status, of these different kinds of gifts. But the Torah has more than that. If you're a king, you get 30. If you are a priest, you get 24. V'ha-Torah, but if you have the greatness of Torah, it's niknet b'arba'im u'shmona. It has 48 dvarim that come along with it. And in this Mishnah and the next Mishnah, we're going to list for you all 48, and that is why these Mishnayot are so long, because of the greatness of the Torah. Here we go. B'Talmud, with the ability to learn in depth. B'Shmiat Ha'ozen, the ability to listen closely. Barichat Tzavatayim, with eloquence. B'Vinat Ha'lev, with understanding of the heart. B'Sichlut Ha'lev, with intelligence of the heart. B'Emah, with trepidation. B'Yirah, with fear of God. B'Anava, with humility. B'Simcha, with joy. B'Shimush Chachamim, serving the wise, which is kind of access to being close to those who are wise and being able to learn from them in this informal way. B'Dikduk Chaverim, with the precision of colleagues, having colleagues with whom you can bounce off ideas, who can sharpen your ideas and you can sharpen theirs. Obil Pilpul HaTamidim, and with the arguments of your students. B'Yishuv, with sitting down, with sort of having a calm demeanor. B'Mikra, the ability to study the Torah. B'Mishnah, the ability to study the Mishnah. B'Mi'ut Sheina, the ability to withstand not getting a lot of sleep. B'Mi'ut Sicha, not having a lot of silly conversations. If you learn enough Torah, you have the merit to escape from small talk. B'Mi'ut Ta'anug, with not having a lot of excess luxury. B'Mi'ut Tzichok, with not being too silly, with having a diminution with how much levity is going on in your life. B'Mi'ut Derech Aret, with having less of a demand to earn a living. Berech Apayim, with patience. B'Lev Tov, with generosity. B'Munat Chachamim, with faith in the sages. U'B'Kabbalat HaYisurin, and the ability to accept any type of suffering with patience and equanimity. We continue with Mishnah Vav. Mishnah Vav, Mishnah number 6, continues the list of 48 qualities that come along with studying Torah. But this list also includes a lot of characteristics that you need in order to safeguard your Torah, in order to continue to be a good student of the Torah. We continue. Hamakirat Mekomo, person needs to recognize their place. V'asameach b'chokho, happy with their lot, happy with their portion. V'oses siyag l'dvarav, someone who makes a fence for their words, someone who's careful to speak in a circumspect way so that people don't take them out of context. V'eno machazik tova l'atzmo, he doesn't give himself too much credit. Ahuv, he is beloved. Ohevet hamakom, he loves God. Ohevet habriot, he loves other people. Ohevet hatzedakot, he loves righteousness. Ohevet atochachot, he loves to rebuke. Ohevet hamesharim, he loves things that are going in the right direction. He loves things that are straight. Mitrachek min hakavod, he distances himself from glory. Velo mekis libo b'talmudo, and he doesn't become overly comfortable, overly confident in his study. Ve'eno sameach b'hora'ah, and he is not happy when he has to lay down the law, when he has to deliver a judgment. Nosei ba'ol im chavero, he really empathizes. He carries the burden along with his friend. Machri'o l'chaf sechut, and he works to have people be vindicated, either through his argument or through his example. He causes people to be better. Ma'amido al ha'emet, it forces him to be truthful. Ma'amido al ha'shalom, it forces him to be peaceful. Mityashev libo b'talmudo, his mind, his heart is at ease in his learning. Sho'el u'meshiv, he asks and answers. Shomea u'mosif, he hears and he's able to add on. Halomed amanat lilamed, someone who learns in order to teach. This is one of the things that safeguards your Torah learning. Valomed amanat lasod, and someone who learns in order to do, in order to practice. Hamachkimet rabo, someone who makes his teacher smarter, someone who asks the right questions, points out the flaws in the argument. This person helps to not only receive good Torah, but also to pass Torah back up from where he got it. V'amechaven et shmuato, someone who carefully organizes his learning, so it's consistent and it's logical and it makes sense. V'haomer davar b'shem omro, and someone who says something in the name of the one who spoke it. This is the last of the 48 qualities. This ability to be careful with the chain of tradition, this requirement to be careful with the chain of tradition, that if you heard something from someone else, you always give them credit, and in that way maintain the sense of the Torah being larger than you, the Torah being something that you both receive and that you hand on. And we continue with a little proof for the significance of saying something in the name of someone else, giving someone credit for the information or for the idea. Halamarata, for behold, you learn. Shakol haomer davar b'shem omro, anyone who says something in the name of the one who said it, mevi geula leolam, that person will bring redemption to the world. Where do we know this from? We know this from Mordechai and Esther. Shene amar, as it says, vatomer Esther lamelech b'shem Mordechai, that Esther delivered her news, her information, to King Achashverosh in the name of Mordechai. And because she was careful to deliver the news with giving credit to its source, that was one of the ways that helped Esther and Mordechai together save the Jews in the Purim story. We're continuing with Mishnah Zayin, which is a continuation of our discussion of how great the Torah is, what kind of glory the Torah can bring to you. Gedola Torah, Torah is great, Torah is glorious. Shehinotenet chayim leoseha ba'olam hazeh uva'olam haba, that it gives life to the one who does it, both in this world and in the world to come. There's really two ways to understand this life-giving property. One is a kind of spiritual vitality sense, and the other is in line with the notion that Torah has an apotropaic quality. Torah can actually prevent you from being diseased, being attacked. So there's this sense that Torah is going to give you this worldly life by protecting you from demons and disease and all sorts of threats. And also, of course, it's going to give you life in the world to come. And how do I know this? I know this from a pasuk in Mishlei she'ne'amar, ki chayim heim lemotzeihem, for they, the words of wisdom, the words of Torah, are life to those who find them, ulechol b'saro marpeh, and are healing to the entire body. Ve'omer, and it further says, pasuk in Mishlei again, rif'ut tihi l'sharecha, it will be healing to your stomach, to your body, v'shikui l'atmotecha, and a tonic for your bones. Ve'omer, and it further says, here is a pasuk from Mishlei, which hopefully we are more familiar with, eitz chayim hi l'machazikim ba, the Torah is a tree of life to those who hold on to it, v'tomche ha'mu'ushar, and those who support it are not necessarily happy, but deserving, praiseworthy. Ve'omer, and it further says, again, the rest of the psukim in this Mishnah are all going to be quotations from Mishlei, which, as we've mentioned, takes as its main theme the significance of and the importance of wisdom and Torah. Ki leviat chein heim deroshecha, for the words of wisdom are a kind of accompanying grace to your head. Va'anakim legagrotecha, and they are like beads for your neck. The Torah is this kind of jewelry that you show off, right? And you can see that someone is a great student of Torah. They sort of carry themselves in a certain way. You can see it. Ve'omer, and it further says, titein l'roshcha l'viat chein, it's going to give this kind of crown, this glorious accompaniment to your head. Ateret tiferet timagnecha, it's going to give you, it's going to bestow upon you this glorious crown. Ve'omer, and it further says, again a pasuk which we are again more familiar with from the Torah processional, orech yamim bimina bismola osher v'chavod, long life is in its right, and in its left hand bismola are wealth and glory. Ve'omer, and it further says, and this is the last pasuk of this very long Mishnah, ki orech yamim, for a length of days, ushnot chayim, and many years to your life, v'shalom, and peace, yosifu lach, they will, that is the words of Torah, will add on to you. Now, you've learned that there are 48 gifts, 48 requirements that come along with the study of Torah. And I'm sure that you've memorized all 48. And as you were memorizing all 48, you may have noticed that there's a bit of a contradiction. Because the first half of the list, in Mishnah Hay, in Mishnah number 5, lists that one of the gifts that's going to come to you when you study Torah is simcha, is joy, is happiness. And that's great. But then if you continue with Mishnah Vav, and you encounter the list of all of the things that you need to be careful of when you are being a person of Torah, in that list was, Eino sameach b'horah. You have to be careful not to be happy when you deliver rulings. So what is it? Does Torah guarantee you happiness? Or do we have to be concerned about happiness? Should we be careful not to be happy when we are delivering judgment? And of course, the resolution to this seeming contradiction is that there's a joy in the abstract study of Torah that doesn't necessarily transfer to having to tell someone that they're wrong, having to take money from one person's pocket and put it in another's, having to tell someone that they have to go through the financial difficulty, the emotional difficulty of bringing a sacrifice, telling someone that in fact they have violated Shabbat. These moments of jurisprudence can be very difficult. And if you want to maintain your integrity, you can't find them too joyful. You have to be careful not to be too sameach. You have to be careful not to be too frivolous, too happy, when you are forced to say no. In the fourth chapter of Brachot, we encounter this notion of being happy in the context of studying Torah and delivering rulings on the basis of Torah, in a sort of interesting context, in the context of short prayers that the rabbis would say at various dangerous or transitional moments. And one of these prayers is the prayer of Menachunya ben Akana. He was known to pray when he entered the Beit Midrash and when he left the Beit Midrash. And the Gemara brings a braita which elaborates on the text of what Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana was praying for as he entered the Beit Midrash. B'chnisato mahu omer. What did he say when he would enter the Beit Midrash? What was his prayer upon entering the Beit Midrash? He would say, Yihi ratzon mufanecha Adonai Elohai. May it be your will, God, shelo yi'ara davar takala ayadi, that no sort of disaster, no terrible mistake should occur because of me, v'lo echashel b'divar halacha, and that I not stumble when it comes to the matter of halacha, v'yismechu b'chaveray, and my colleagues will be happy for me. V'lo omar al tamei tahor, v'lo al tahor tamei. I will not say about the impure thing that it is pure, and not about the pure thing that it is impure. V'lo yikashlu chaveray b'divar halacha, and that my friends, my colleagues, also not stumble, not make any mistake when it comes to delivering the halacha, v'asmach b'hem, and I will be happy with them. The first way of reading this prayer is that Nechunya ben Akana is very anxious about making a mistake because he has the concern that our Mishnah has. There's actually a real danger. There's a real risk. There's a real responsibility when it comes to delivering a verdict. And Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana feels that anxiety. He feels that weight when he goes into the Beit Midrash. And when he says, V'yismechu b'chaveray, that my colleagues will be happy for me, he is saying, if I do the right thing, if I judge correctly, my colleagues will be happy for me. But Rashi doesn't understand V'yismechu b'chaveray as being the colleagues being happy with or for Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana, but actually understands it that Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana is concerned that if he is someone who makes a mistake, that all of his colleagues are going to laugh at him, that he is going to be the cause of their joy. And you can see that what causes him trepidation in entering the Beit Midrash is not that he's afraid to make the mistake that's going to negatively impact someone else's life, but the environment, even the abstract environment of the Beit Midrash, when things are theoretical, is such a dangerous competitive place that he's afraid that if he makes a mistake, everybody's going to laugh at him and he is going to be ashamed. And so the simcha that Rabbi Nechonya ben Akana is concerned about is not that I'm feeling concerned that I'm going to have a casual attitude towards learning, but that I'm going to be caught up in the kind of competitive and mean-spirited environment that can take place in the Beit Midrash. And so if we read his prayer back into our Mishnah, where we say that a person who is successful in Torah is Eino Sameach B'Horah, is not happy when he delivers a ruling, and Nosei Ba'ol Im Chavera, and he also is empathetic, and he carries the burden with his friend, he carries the burden with his colleague, maybe this is a picture of a better Beit Midrash than the Beit Midrash of Rabbi Nechonya ben Akana. Maybe this is a picture of a Beit Midrash where people are happy for each other, where there's a simcha, but they're not happy at each other's expense, where everybody wants everybody else to succeed, and the joy that permeates our hearts when we study Torah is never diminished by a kind of arrogance and a kind of desire to have other people fail so that we can succeed. Next week, we're going to make it to the end. We're going to continue with Perek Vav and learn Mishnayot Chet through Yod Aleph, Mishnayot 8 through 11. And with that, we'll conclude our study of Masechet Avot.
For more opportunities to be involved in our 10th year celebration, please visit mechonhadar.org/siyum. Join us on Thursday, March 2nd for our Siyum celebration, and be a part of our first ever National Shabbaton for March 3rd through 5th, 2017.